Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is winners and losers time in the Big 12. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com, where we cover the Big 12 Conference. And as always, glad you're here. You know what I'm going to ask for, right? Hey, just do it. Like the video. Subscribe. We appreciate you. If you're on the podcast, drop that 5-star rating and review. So, as we like to do each and every time this week, I am going to give you 3 winners and 3 losers tied to what's going on and what's gone on this past week across the Big 12 Conference. And we'll start, since you guys like to start with the winners, we'll start with our 3 winners this week. At number 1, my first winner of the week, and the winners are in no particular order, so don't look at it like biggest winner, but I'm going to go into Big 12 recruiting as having a great week and being one of my biggest winners of the week. All right, the Big 12 is not getting enough credit for how it's recruiting as of late, with multiple top 50, top 100 players for the class of 2026 in football going to Big 12 schools, going to places like Houston, going to BYU, going to Texas Tech. I mean, you have some really good players coming into the Big 12, and it's in part because of what they're doing on the recruiting trail, how they're mixing in the NIL, and how they're playing in the big leagues now. And when you look at some of the team rankings, the Big 12 for the class of 26 does not have a top 10 team right now. But what if I told you this 2 years ago? What if I told you that we'd be, you know, inching closer towards the 2026 signing class? You know, a lot of these classes are more or less filled. You've got 20, 25 commits for most of these top 25 schools. And what if I told you that BYU, Baylor, and Texas Tech would all have classes ranked higher than the Oklahoma Sooners? If I told you that 2 years ago, knowing that OU was leaving for the SEC and the Big 12 was trying to figure out how to replace them, what to do, and I said, yeah, the Big 12 would have 3 teams ranked ahead of the Oklahoma Sooners, and it would be Tech, Baylor, and BYU, you would have said, what? What's going on here? What's happening? Well, that's exactly where the rankings are right now, according to 24/7 Sports. We know how good BYU has it right now, with guys like Ryder Lyons coming in, of course, at quarterback. And then you've got a bunch of 4-star dudes as well. Brock Harris leading the way at tight end there. So there is quality up and down the BYU recruiting class. We know what Texas Tech is doing as well. Baylor is quietly having a very nice 2026 class, possibly the best 2026 class it's ever had under Dave Aranda. And they're doing it at the top on defense with Jamarian Carlton out of Temple, Texas, right down the road. Defensive lineman, 6'5", 260, top 35 player in the country. You've got Jamarian Vincent, another top 75 player in the country at cornerback going to Baylor in the class of 26. You've got high-end talent coming into the Big 12. And then right behind him, TCU at 35, Kansas at 37. And the Big 12 is in the mix for a lot of guys as well. As we reported on Thursday of this week, you've got a 2026 4-star wide receiver, Chase Campbell, who's going to announce next week during a live broadcast on YouTube. And he's down to K-State, Texas Tech, and Baylor. 6'1" wideout is the highest ranked uncommitted player at his position. And before he cut it down to those 3 teams, he had 21 offers on the table. His final 3 are all Big 12 schools. So this is darn impressive. The Big 12 is not getting enough credit for the job it's doing on the recruiting trail, and that makes Big 12 recruiting my first winner of the week. Next up for my winners here this week in the Big 12. I'm going to go with the Kansas Jayhawks, and here's why. We wrote about this on the website, and I give credit to bookies.com. They crunched the numbers on travel miles for each Big 12 team, and KU will rack up the shortest road trip of any team in the Big 12 this season. Their total travel distance is under 6,000 miles spread across five games. That is about half of some of the other teams in the Big 12 that I'll talk about later in the show. So think about that. You've got short road trips in this league. That is good for a league that spans from Provo, Utah to Orlando, Florida. That's exactly what you want if you're the Kansas Jayhawks, who I've been thinking more and more about as kind of an underrated, under-the-radar team going into this season. And that's one of those things in a conference that is as close as this conference is expected to be. When you can be the team that has fresher legs because you've traveled thousands of miles less than some of your opponents, what more can you ask for? You look at KU's schedule, and their first five games, four of them are at home, and the only road trip is to Columbia, Missouri for Mizzou. I mean, that is as good as it gets. You're talking about not really having a true road trip until you get to Saturday, October 4th, when you go to UCF and take on the Knights. That's real nice. Now, in November, they've got a couple of road trips back-to-back, Arizona and Iowa State, but there's a bye week in between there. Kansas's schedule is shaping up really well the more you look at it. And in a Big 12 that is going to be wide open, those are the kind of little things that can make a difference. When is your bye week? Who are you playing? How much travel do you have? That is a really under-the-radar thing to look at. And I'll have more on that coming up later in the show. But the KU lack of travel is something that should make a difference. Chase writing here on YouTube, we won't really know anything about the Jayhawks until week six, but they could have a very interesting year. Absolutely. And by the way, when you get Cincinnati or West Virginia, Cincinnati, and UCF out of the gates in the Big 12, those are three teams that most people will project to be at the bottom of the standings, right or wrong. If they get off to a 3-0 start in Big 12 play, and you're going to Lubbock on Saturday, October 11th, and Texas Tech is having the kind of season we think it could have, that is a great game on Saturday, October 11th in Lubbock, Texas Tech, Kansas, and an underrated game as well to keep a close eye on. And my final winner of the week here is something that I think is good for the Big 12, and that's the 5+11 model. What is the 5+11 model? That is the model that allows the Big 12 to not get pigeonholed and not get hosed potentially into having to settle for two automatic bids. We talked about this earlier in the week. The Big 12 could not have taken the SEC or the Big 10 up on the 4-4-2-2 option. They can't do it. No way, no how can the Big 12 possibly go down the road of having to deal with the 4-4-2-2-1 auto bid model. No way. It's not something that this conference can frankly allow to happen. It will be admitting inferiority. And the Big 12 can't do that right now. No conference should do that right now. The Big 12 should say, we want to win it on the field. And the way it's shaping up, the 5-11 model looks to be the preferred model in a 16-team college football playoff, where there'll be five automatic bids and 11 at-larges. The SEC likes it because they think they can jam in like eight teams into the playoff with this at-large model. And the Big 10 doesn't like it, but the ACC and the Big 12 prefer the 5-11 model. So it looks like if I were a betting man, I would bet on the 5-11 model winning out, which is great news for the Big 12 conference and is exactly what Big 12 fans should want to see happen. It may mean that they don't get the two teams in right away, right? Like you look at this year, it's entirely possible the Big 12 doesn't have two teams in the playoff if there were a 16-team playoff this year, right? That's entirely possible. But 3, 4, 5 years down the road, that's when this gets really interesting. And that is when you can start looking at this and saying to yourself, you know what? why aren't we talking more about the Big 12 having two teams in the playoff? What if we think there are three Big 12 teams worthy of being in the top 16 of the college football playoff rankings come the end of the season? There's totally a world where the Big 12 has like multiple one-loss teams at the end of the year, right? With the way the schedules break out and the way that teams aren't playing each other in some round-robin style anymore, all that's gone. So you get multiple one-loss teams, maybe you get a two-loss team in there as well. That world, that lane exists for the Big 12 to find itself in a position where it's got a multiple teams in the college football playoff once it grows to 16. So I like where that's trending, and that's a big win for the Big 12 this week as well. Now, before we get to our losers, if you're just joining us on the show, make sure you're subscribed, like the video, and we're glad that you're here on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. All right, let me get to my three losers of the week.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
My first loser is BYU. And you might say, why? Well, because of the same thing that I gave Kansas the winner nod for. BYU has a lot of travel that it is going to have to deal with this season. BYU is traveling more than any other team in the Big 12. They are doing 13,500 miles of travel this year. KU is doing under 6,000. Put that into perspective. More than double the travel for BYU this year. I mean, think about it. They got a conference game at East Carolina. I don't know how that one ended up on the schedule, but man, you're traveling that far for a Group of Five game? Somebody screwed that one up royally. You got Colorado on the road, Arizona on the road, Iowa State on the road, Texas Tech on the road, Cincinnati on the road. I mean, this is a whale of a schedule for BYU. BYU is always going to have some of the longest road trips just based on their geography, right? But, man, this is a lot of games with a lot of travel for the Cougars. And some of these games on the road are real tricky. Iowa State, Texas Tech, you know, even Colorado early in the season. And you're doing it all while trying to figure out who your quarterback is going to be. That's difficult for BYU. That's tired legs. That's a long season when you're doing more than double the travel of a team like the Kansas Jayhawks. And KU has, of course, a geographical advantage here being in the middle of the country. But, man, that is tough when you're BYU and you're going to travel twice as long and twice as much, basically, as a team like the Kansas Jayhawks. That is, oh, gosh, that is real tough for BYU. And I see the comments. Some of you are like, I've got no sympathy for BYU. I didn't sit here and say you should have sympathy. I'm just telling you, that's a tough slot. And it's something that in a conference that will be razor thin and could be decided by a couple of games, a couple of tired legs here or there, that wouldn't shock me in the least. All right, so that is something that's got to get more attention, and that's why I made him a loser this week. Another loser, I thought the SEC had a bad week, which of course is good for the Big 12. First off, how about Steve Sarkisian? He walks up to the podium. I mean, you know, Texas is now the staple program in the SEC alongside probably Georgia and Alabama. And Steve Sarkisian walks up to the podium at SEC Media Days and they play the freaking A&M fight song. I mean, you had one job. I kept thinking about that. You had one job and you screwed it up that royally. That is brutal. I loved it. I mean, the Big 12 should have done that during Texas's last year or two at Big 12 Media Days. They should have played the A&M fight song. That would have been great. I would have loved that. So I guess credit to whoever did it, but it also was a massive embarrassment because that wasn't supposed to happen at SEC Media Days. And then you've got Greg Sankey kind of embarrassing himself, talking about, yeah, we play conference games, but we play 9 or 10 Power 4 games. It's like, wait, buddy, you can't have it both ways. You can't say there's a Power 2, but then when you want there to be a Power 4 because you think it helps your conference and you think it makes you look better when it comes to your schedule, you don't then get to admit there's a Power 4. And that is something that I thought more media should have pointed out about Greg Sankey, but so many of the media that were there are so far up his butt that they don't want to point that out, or they don't even think to point that out. But Greg Sankey ate some crow. 1 week after Brett Yormark had a really good Big 12 media days, I thought that Greg Sankey had a bad SEC media days. He didn't really sell the SEC as the top of the top, the cream of the crop. I mean, he said it, but he didn't really sell it. He didn't have the juice. He didn't have the pizzazz. He didn't have the swagger that I thought Yormark had last week at Big 12 media days. And it was fairly evident. It's just the SEC looks so corporate, looks so cookie cutter. And I'm not going to say they won't have some of the best teams in the country and they'll get great ratings on these games, but there's something about it that I think can backfire on them. And you could feel it at Big 12 media days or SEC media days this week. And that's why Greg Sankey and the SEC are one of my losers this week in the Big 12. And I guess that would then make the Big 12 a winner. Is that fair? And Sankey also saying that they're basically not on the same page as the Big 10 right now, despite the fact that he's talked to the Big 10 commissioner like four times last week, and they still don't have any consensus on what exactly the future of the college football playoff should be. So then my final loser of the week is ESPN's College Game Day. And the reason for that is because Fox Sports is bringing on Barstool Sports' Dave Portnoy to Big Noon Kickoff. Give me your comments and your thoughts on that here on the show. Now, listen, I think what Portnoy is being brought on to do is basically be the Pat McAfee of College Game Day. And Pat McAfee's probably a more likable figure than Portnoy, but they will serve a similar role. And where Portnoy may not have the likability factor of McAfee, what he does have is the unpredictability, right? The crazy, little bit of nuts. That's what he's got going for him. That McAfee, you know, is kooky. He'll do crazy things. Portnoy will say crazier things than McAfee. That's the difference in those two guys. And Big Noon Kickoff's done a pretty good job making inroads. They've obviously put themselves with a top-tier game at noon Eastern time that could end up being some Big 12 games. I think Portnoy's going to bring them eyeballs. I know some of you say, and will comment here, being like, I can't stand Portnoy. He's the worst. He brings eyeballs. He does, and that's what Fox is betting on. And Fox needed that. That Big Noon Kickoff crew was tight. It is tight, right? It doesn't have the personality. It doesn't have the longevity of a College Game Day. It doesn't have the camaraderie of a College Game Day. And with Lee Corso leaving, combined with Dave Portnoy coming in, that sets up a situation where Big Noon may be able to continue to make more inroads. I think the one thing they also have to consider is growing the show to 3 hours. I don't know about you, but like I think Big Noon's only 2 hours. And if I start watching Game Day, it's unlikely I'm going to go over to Big Noon Kickoff unless it's at a Big 12 game and Game Day is at an SEC game or something like that. But that's unique to me, right? That's probably unique to us. That's not what the average fan is probably doing who isn't necessarily as bought into a conference, or unless it's their team. They'll probably stay with Game Day. And I know it's a heavier lift, dragging out a show like that for 3 hours. There's more production involved. You got to put together more packages. Like, there is more to it when you're growing a show by 50%. But if they're serious about just going head-to-head, mano-a-mano with College Game Day, and they are based on the Dave Portnoy signing by Big Noon Kickoff, I think they got to grow the show. So that's something that I think is going to come out in the wash as well. Desert Devil says, Pat played, Little Dave didn't. That's the difference. Yes, McAfee did play, of course, at West Virginia. Dave Portnoy did not. However, you know, being an entertainer is being an entertainer, and you can be an entertainer in different ways, whether you played the sport or you didn't play the sport. And Dave Portnoy knows that as well as anybody. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. Those are our winners and losers this week in the Big 12. Glad you're here. Hey, make sure you're subscribed before you leave us. Please do that. Helps the show tremendously. YouTube the podcast and drop us the 5-star rating and review. Thank you, guys. Have an outstanding rest of the day. We've got some big interviews coming your way the next couple of weeks, so you want to be subscribed, and we'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.